Blog Talk Radio.
The words, it just seems to fit our lesson on Joseph and his family. God is giving his brothers a second chance. God is giving Joseph a second chance. God is giving Israel a second chance to move forward as a family. And I just believe in my heart, God is giving us a second chance to move forward in love as family, because we are all children of the Most God, and in the Lord I put my trust. And that is the word for today coming out of Psalm chapter 11. In the Lord I put my trust, and in the Lord I will walk right. And it says in our word, it says Psalms 11 and 1, and it says, in the Lord put I my trust, and this is King James. Have say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. And that's what we must do. Flee as a bird to our mountain, but trusting in the Lord. So this morning, as you know, this is Friday, so we do either Old Testament or New Testament, and we are going to do Old Testament today. That's just was put in my heart, is just do an Old Testament word today, and because the story of Joseph is one of my favorites, because, you know, you think about this. You were sent into slavery, sold, not just sent, but sold into slavery for 20 pieces of silver by not just anybody, but your brothers, family, sold you into slavery. That's a hard pill to swallow. But then God shows you that he loves you and that this is only a temporary thing, that you are going to be made high from being the lowest. You're going to be given grace. And that's what he did. He gave Joseph grace. He gave his brothers grace. He loved this family. But he needed Joseph to be where he was. He needed him to be enslaved. He needed him to be sent where he was sent, because God knew way, way, way before anybody that he was about to send a famine. Not today, not tomorrow, but way down the road, he was going to send a famine, and he was going to need someone in place. And the someone he put in place was going to be Joseph, coming from adversity. And then he was going to use this to show his brothers forgiveness and love. And God is wanting to show us in this day forgiveness and love, that we got to get out of the cancel culture. Every time someone says something we don't like, we want to cancel them out. Well, I'm not following you. I'm not speaking to you because you disagreed with me. Can we not no longer disagree in love? Can we no longer act like men and women of God in love? For God is love, and we say we are of God. We have to love each other regardless. There may be people you dislike to your core because they're just wrong, but you love them and you pray for them anyway. You love them and you pray for them anyway. For God is love. He is grace. He is goodness, and he is mercy. And how can we be less than God? How can we be less than God? He's forgiving. He's loving. He's kind. I'm not going to say that Joseph didn't have his moment when they first showed up. And not only showed up, but showed up without his little brother. And he's thinking to himself, I'm sure, when he first saw them, where's Benjamin? Have they done to him what they did to me? You know, I'm sorry. We're human. That would have been my first thought. Have they done to my little brother what they did to me? Because what they did to him was cruel, especially when you hear him pleading and begging them not to do what they were doing. But they did it anyway. And now they are feeling the consequences of it. In their minds, they're thinking, oh, it's because of what we did that we're going through right now. It's because of how we acted that things are happening to us right now. It's because we sold our brother. This is why we're going through this. But I believe in my heart that they treated Benjamin better, because you know and I know that God has a way of sending that guilt to you, of sending that shame to your remembrance, the stuff that you did what was wrong. Because God is just like that. He reminds us, but he always loves us. So I will trust in the Lord today. You know, I love Psalms, period, and I love Proverbs. And we'll have a proverb and psalm this morning, as well as Genesis. On Sunday, we will be in the book of Matthew, and we'll go forth. So let us pray. Father God in heaven, we are just so thankful this morning after giving us peaceful rest. Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth, my humble mouth, be acceptable in your sight. Father God, I ask you to please increase as I decrease. Speak through me, Lord, that someone will be saved from hearing your word. But you are God. You are not a man, and you do not lie. For you said you will never leave us or forsake us. And in your word, Lord God, I put my trust. I put my heart, I put my soul, I put all of me believing and trusting that you are with me, Lord God, everywhere I go. And that you have placed angels of protection to cover me and my family, to cover all of your children and their family. So, Lord, I thank you for my protective angel, protecting me and my family from the evil one. Lord God, I thank you for the hedge of protection. And I pray that this word and what I speak is worthy in your sight. For you are my Father God, and I am grateful that you call me daughter. And it's in the name of your Son and my Savior, Christ Jesus, I pray, thanking you, believing you, and letting you know how grateful I am and how blessed I am to be given this assignment. Thank you, Father God. And again, in the name of the Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, amen. Giving thanks to God. You know the song, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." Yes, he is good. Goes through my mind when I was praying. That song just came into my spirit. "For he is worthy, worthy, for he is good." Yes, he is good. So let's get into our Genesis word this morning. And it is good. Yes, it is good. Now, we understand that the brothers have come to Egypt to get food because the famine is not only in Egypt, everywhere. We know we're going to have 7 years of famine, 7 years of good, 7 years of famine. And so Egypt is one of the few places because of Joseph that is prepared. So let's go into chapter 43 of the book of Genesis. We're going to be reading chapter 43, verse 1 through 48, verse 22. So let's get started. "Now the famine was severe in the land, and it came to pass, when they had eaten up the grain which they had brought from Egypt, that their father said to them, 'Go back, buy us a little food.' But Judah spoke to him, saying, 'The man Solomon warned us, saying, You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you.' And Israel said, 'Why did you deal so wrongfully with me as to tell the man whether you had still another brother?' But they said, 'The man asked us pointedly about ourselves and our family, saying, Is your father still alive? Have you another brother?' And we told him according to those words. Could we possibly have known that he would say, 'Bring your brother down'? Then Judah said to Israel, his father, 'Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and you and also our little ones. I myself will be surety for him. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. For if we had not lingered, surely by now we would have returned this second time.' And their father Israel said to them, 'It must be so. Then do this. Take some of the best fruit of the land in your vessels and carry down a present for the man, a little balm and a little honey, spice and myrrh, pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double money in your hand and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sex. Perhaps it was an oversight. Take your brother also and arise, go back to the man, and may God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release your other brother and Benjamin. If I am bereaved, I am bereaved.' So the men took that present and Benjamin, and they took double money in their hand and arose and went down to Egypt. And they stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, 'Take these men to my home and slaughter an animal and make ready, for these men will dine with me at noon.' Then the man did as Joseph ordered, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. Now the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, 'It is because of the money which was returned to our sex. the first time that we are brought in, so that he may make a case against us and seize us to take us as slaves with our donkeys. When they drew near to the steward of Joseph's house, they talked with him at the door of the house and said, "Oh, sir, we indeed came down the first time to buy food, but it happened when we came to the encampment that we opened our sacks, and there each man's money was in the mouth of the sack, our money in full weight. So we have brought it back in our hands, and we have brought down our money in our hands and bought to buy food. We do not know who put our money in our sacks." But he said, "Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money." Then he brought Simeon out to them. So the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their donkeys feed. Then they made the presents ready for Joseph coming at noon, for they heard that they would eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed down before him to the earth. Then he asked them about their well-being and said, "It is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive?" And they answered, "Your servant, our father, is in good health. He is still alive." And they bowed their head down and postured themselves. Everything he told them they would do. God has a way of doing things, don't he? Everything Joseph said in his dreams, that's what they do. And they answered, "Your servant, our father, is in good health." I love it. In good health, he is still alive. And here we go again. And they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. Then he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." Now his heart yearned for his brother. So Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. And he went into his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out, and he restrained himself and said, "Serve the bread." So they set him a place by himself, and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. And they set before him according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked in astonishment at one another. Then he took servants to them from before him. But Benjamin's servants was five times as much as any of the others, so they drank and were merry with him. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the men's sack with food, as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack, and also put my cup, the silver, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest and his great money." So he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning dawned, the men were sent away, they and their donkeys. When they had gone out of the city and were not yet far off, Joseph said to his steward, "Get up, follow the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, 'Why have you repaid evil for good? Is not this the one from whom my Lord drinks, and with which he indeed practices divination? You have done evil in so doing. So he overtook them, and he spoke to them these same words. And they said to him, "What does my Lord say these things? Far be it from us that your servants would do such a thing. Look, we brought back to you from the land of Canaan the money which we found in the mouths of our sacks. Now then, how then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house? With whomever of your servants it is found, let him die, and we also will be the Lord's slaves." And he said, Now also let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my slave, and you shall be blameless." Then each man speedily let down his sack to the ground, and each opened his sack. So he reached in, and he began with the oldest and left with the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes, and each man loaded his donkey and returned to the city. So Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, and he was still there. And they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said to them, "What deed is this you have done?" Did you not know that such a man as I can certainly practice divination? Then Judah said, what shall we say, my Lord? What shall we speak? Oh, how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants here. We are my Lord's slaves, both we and he also with whom the cup was found. But he said, far be it from me that I should do so. The man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave, and for you go up in peace to your father. Then Judah came near to him and said, oh, my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you are even like Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? And we said to my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age who is young. His brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children, and my father loves him. Then you said to your servants, bring him down to me, and that I may set my eyes on him. And we said to my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for he should leave his father, his father would die. But you said to your servant, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall see my face no more. So it was when we went up to your servant, my father, that he told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go back and buy us a little food. But we said, we cannot go down if our youngest brother is with us. Oh, man. Then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face unless your youngest brother is with us. And then your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons, and the one went out from me. And I said, surely he is torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. But if you take this one also from me, and calamity befall him, you shall bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Now, therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us, that he will die. So your servant will bring down the gray hair of your grave, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my father, and let the lad go up with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father? He praying now. Judah is on the ground. He begging. They all know they did wrong. They all know they did some awful stuff to their brother out of hatred, out of envy, out of strife, see, out of jealousy. Let's keep going. We're still in the book of Genesis, chapter 45. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For those 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all this house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. come down to me. Do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty. For there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them, and after that his brothers talked with him. Forgiving. God is forgiving. And Joseph, he didn't go far, not too far. He went far, but not too far that he could not have redemption with his brothers. And then it goes on to say, now the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brothers have come. So it pleased Pharaoh and his servants well. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this, load your animals and depart. Go to the land of Canaan, bring your father and your households, and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. Now you are commanded to do this. Take carts out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives. Bring your father and come. Also do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. Then the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them carts according to the command of Pharaoh, and he gave them provisions for the journey. He gave to all of them, to each man, changes of garments, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. And he sent to his father these things, 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and food for his father for the journey. So he sent his brothers away, and they departed, and he said to them, see that you do not become troubled along the way. Then they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan, to Jacob their father, and they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still because he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Then Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die." So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifice to the God of his father Isaac. Then God spoke to Israel in the wilderness, in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here I am. So he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again, and Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones and their wives, in the carts which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. So they took their livestock and their goods, which they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and went to Egypt, Jacob and all his descendants with him, his sons and his sons' sons, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his descendants he brought with him to Egypt. Now there were the names. Now these were the names of the children of Israel, Jacob and his sons, who went to Egypt. Reuben was Jacob's firstborn. The sons of Reuben were Hanok, Pelu, Hezron, Carmi. The sons of Simeon were Jamil, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zahor, and Shul. The sons of the Canaanite women. The sons of Levi were Gershon and Merari. The sons of Judah were Onan, Shelah, Perez, and Zerah. Out of and Onan died in the land of Canaan. The sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. The sons of Issachar were Tola, Puva, Job, and Shimron. The sons of Zebulun were Shered, Elon, and Jael. These were the sons of Leah, whom she bore to Jacob in Paddan Aram with his daughter Dinah. All the persons, his sons and his daughters, were 33. The sons of Gad were Zaphion, Haggai, Shunai, Esbon, Ir, Araldi, and Ariel. The sons of Asher were Jimna, Ishna, Ashu, Bera, and Tira, their sister. And the sons of Bera were Heber and Melchiel. These were the sons of Zelpha, whom Laban gave to Leah, his daughter, and sold, and these she bore to Jacob. 16 persons. The sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, were Joseph and Benjamin. And to Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, Ashnai, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. The sons of Benjamin were Delah, Bercher, Ashbel, Yira, Naaman, Roz, Mopim, Hupim, and Er. These were the sons of Rachel who were born to Jacob, 14 persons in all. The sons of Dan was Hashem. The sons of Naphtali were Jezreel, Jeel, Guna, Jezer, and Shalim. These were the sons of Bilhah whom Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, and she bore these to Jacob, 7 persons in all. All the persons who went with Jacob to Egypt, who came from his body between Jacob's sons' wives, were 66 persons in all. And the sons of Joseph who were born to him in Egypt were 2 persons. All the persons of the house of Jacob who went to Egypt were 70. Then he sent Judah before him to Joseph to point out before him the way to Goshen. And they came to the land of Goshen. So Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. And he presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face, because you are still alive." Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I will go and say to him, 'My brothers and those of my father's house who were in the land of Canaan have come to me, and the men are shepherds, for their occupation has been to feed livestock, and they have brought their flocks, their herds, and all that they have. So it shall be when Pharaoh calls you and says, "What is your occupation?" you shall say, "Your servant's occupation has been with livestock from our youth even till now, both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians." So the Egyptians didn't fool with shepherds. And I want to say to myself, then how did they eat? Because it took the shepherds to keep the flocks. But also the Egyptians didn't fool with the Hebrews either. Going in our word. We are in the book of Genesis, chapter 47 through 48, verse 22. And then we will be going back into the Psalms for our word for today. And it says, "Then Joseph went and told Pharaoh and said, 'My father and my brothers, their flocks and their herds and all that they possess have come from the land of Canaan. And indeed, they are in the land of Goshen.' And he took 5 men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, 'What is your occupation?' And they said to Pharaoh, 'Your servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers.' And they said to Pharaoh, 'We have come to dwell in the land because your servants have no pasture for our flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now, therefore, please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen.' Then Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, 'Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Have your father and brothers dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know any competent men among them, then make them chief herdsmen over my livestock.' Then Joseph brought in his father Jacob and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Jacob, 'How old are you?' And Jacob said to Pharaoh, The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. So Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh, and Joseph situated his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. Then Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with bread according to the number in their families. Now there was no bread in all the land, for famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished because of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the grain which they brought, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. So when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in your presence? For the money has failed." Then Joseph said, "Give your livestock, and I will give you bread for your livestock if the money is gone." So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for the horses, the flocks, the cattle of the herds, and for the donkeys. Thus he fed them with bread in exchange for all their livestock that year. Then that year had ended. They came to him the next year and said to him, "We will not hide from my lord that our money is gone. My lord also has our herds of livestock. There is nothing left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our land. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants of Pharaoh. Give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land may not be desolate." Then Joseph brought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for every man of the Egyptians sold his field, because the famine was severe upon them. So the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he moved them into the cities from one end of the borders of Egypt to the other end. Only the land of the priests he did not buy, for the priests had rations allotted to them by Pharaoh. And they ate their rations, which Pharaoh gave them. Therefore, they did not sell their land. Then Joseph said to the people, "Indeed, I have brought you and your land this day for Pharaoh. Look, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the harvest that you shall give one-fifth to Pharaoh, four-fifths shall be your own, as seed for the field and for your food, for those of your household, and as food for your little ones." So they said, "You have saved our lives. Let us find favor in the sight of my lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt to this day that Pharaoh should have one-fifth, except for the land of the priests only, which did not become Pharaoh's. So Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions there and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. When the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, "Now if I have found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Please do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. You shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in the burial place." And he said, "I will do as you have said." Then he said, "Sir, swear to me." And he swore to him. So Israel bowed himself on the bed, the head of the bed. Now it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, "Indeed, your father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob was told, "Look, your son Joseph is coming to you." And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. Then Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me in Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, 'Behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession.' And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Your offspring, whom you begot after them, shall be yours. they will be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. But as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way when there was but a little distance to go to Ephraim. And I buried her there on the way to Ephraim, that is Bethlehem. When Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, "Who are these?" Joseph said to his father, "They are my sons whom God has given me in this place." And he said, "Please bring them to me, and I will bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age so that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them, embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, God has also shown me your offspring. So Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly. But Manasseh was the firstborn, and he blessed Joseph and said, "God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lad. Let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." Now when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, "Not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, but he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations." So he blessed them that day, saying, "By you, Israel, will bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh." And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, "Behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to you one portion above your brothers, which I took from the hand of the Amorites with my sword and my bow." Wow. That is a father's love. He loved him. He loved his sons. He loved all of his sons. You know, even though it may appear that all he loved was Joseph and Benjamin, but he loved them all. And so let's get into our psalm for our word for today. In the Lord I put my trust. Stay with me, family. In the Lord I put my trust. Now, we can't put our trust in anything but God. And the word says, in the Lord I put my trust, and this is a psalm of David. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? But look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of man. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked, he will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. What a word. And a life lesson. And for those just joining us this morning, our life lessons come from Dr. Charles Stanley. For the Bible that we are coming out of this year is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I am coming out of the New King James Version. And a life lesson for our word for this morning. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? When foes urged Nehemiah to run from trouble, he replied, should such a man as I flee? He realized that his enemies wanted to make him afraid, and so sin by fleeing instead of trusting God. Nehemiah 6:11 and 13. And we know Nehemiah had an assignment, and he did his assignment, and he did not let anybody make him afraid. Psalms 11:7, the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. God made us in his image to reflect who he is and to bring him glory. Since the Lord is righteous, he wants us to act in righteous ways. And through his spirit, he gives us the power we need. And I say to you this morning, praise the Lord. We will be reading our Proverbs on Sunday. We're just doing Psalms this morning and Genesis. And just a life lesson from Psalms chapter, well, just go to Psalms chapter 12, verses 1. And it says to the chief priest, musician, on an eight-string harp, a psalm of David. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off the flattering lips and the tongues that speak proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked prowl on every side, when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. Woo, that's a word for today. That is a true word for today. Chief musician of Psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. What a word. Oh, that's a good word. This whole word today has been on point, and it has been good. And I just have a couple of things before we get out of here this morning from Dr. Stanley. And this is Answers to Life's Questions. And I'm coming out of Genesis 37. Oh, we read that. Never mind. I'm sorry. I was about to go too far to the wrong side. Hold on just a minute. Let me get back where I'm supposed to be. I just got all excited, y'all. I just like pulling out the words, because it was just so rich and so good this morning. There it is. Genesis chapter 45, verses 4 and 5. Do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. God calls us to have a forgiving spirit, knowing that God remains in control of all that happens to us, releases us to forgive others. He also asks us to trust and obey him day by day and to learn the lessons he sets before us. We may think that something awful is going on, but understand, God can make your awful into his good. He is that kind of God. He's always there for each of us. All we have to do is put our trust in the Lord. In the Lord we trust. Not in money, not in man, not in nations, not in anything, but in the Lord. And our life questions is, why doesn't God answer my prayers sooner? And I love what Dr. Stanley says. He said, God hears our requests and loves us so much that he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Then why does it appear to take him so long to respond to some of our most urgent requests? carefully consider the following 10 reasons the delay may be caused by. So please get out your pens and your pencils. Why we have delay is this. 1, our disobedience. 2, our doubt. 3, our attempts at manipulation. Can't manipulate God. And remember, God is not an ATM. 4, wrong motivation. Remember the word, we cannot pray amiss. Our lack of responsibility. We can't go out and do stuff and then want God to bail us out when we know we were doing wrong when we did it. 6, an illegitimate need. Can't ask for what we don't need. God will provide. God's redirection. God may not want you to go in that direction. 9, God's desire to teach us. 10, God's desire to bring us to repentance. We must ask God to forgive us. When we do wrong, ask forgiveness. And this is just a couple of words. And it says, our disobedience. Our sins can prompt God to withhold his gracious hand. And if you have an opportunity, go to Psalms 81, 10 through 12. When we disobey his commands and refuse to repent, he sometimes stops his ears from hearing our request. Our doubt. Without faith, no one who asks anything of God will receive what he requests. And if you have a chance, write this scripture down, these scriptures, James 1, 5 through 8. But with faith, all things are possible. 9 and 23. Our attempts at manipulation. If we try to control or manipulate God, we should not expect answers to our prayers. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 9 through 14. Again, that's 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 9 through 14. He is the master. We are the servant. Wrong motivation. Neither self-centered requests nor those tinged with evil intent will receive an answer, James 4 and 3. God refuses to partner with our lust or our schemes. Our lack of responsibility. And this is a word. Proverbs 19 and 15, if you get an opportunity to look it up. God cannot be expected to compensate for a lazy or negligent person. The Lord has his work to do. We have ours. We all got to go to work. A man who does not work does not eat. Remember that. Illegitimate need. In this thing, you want really a need, or is it something that you have legitimately come to expect? Often we have bigger eyes than stomachs. See Jeremiah chapter 45, verses 1 through 5. Rejecting God's method. Don't turn away a means of supply merely because it doesn't fit your expectations or criteria. Joshua chapter 6. A man named Naaman almost made this mistake, and it would have cost him his health. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. Because, you know, Naaman was this big-time dude with leprosy, and all he was told to do was go bathe in the Jordan. And he's like, ew, what? But he did it, you know. From one man's blessing came another man's curse. But we'll talk about that when we get to 2 Kings. God's redirection. Sometimes God is in the process of redirecting us or preparing us for something new. Genesis 37, 39 through 50. God loves to do fresh, exciting things with his people. Isaiah 43 and 19. God's desire to teach us. God may want us to focus on our spiritual and eternal needs so that he will learn to trust him in all things and for all things, Isaiah 48 and 18. God's desire to bring us to repentance. God may want us to own up to the sins, to our sins, confess it and repent of it, Luke 15, 11 through 31. And even when God delays his answers, he instructs us to keep on praying, Luke 18, 1 through 8. Prayer is life's greatest time saver, even when it doesn't seem like it. What a word. Oh, what a word this morning. That's all I can say is what a word. And a few more life lessons before we get out of here this morning. Life lesson, Genesis 48:46-4. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again. Israel found strength to do even a difficult thing once he heard God's promise, for God's word is an immovable anchor in times of storms. 12:5. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. We all yearn for safety, to feel secure in our surroundings. Whenever events occur that make us feel unsafe and insecure, God urges us to ask him to intervene. He also is both our safety and our surety. Psalms 12:6. The words of the Lord are pure words. God's word is not like any other book on earth. It expresses the heart and mind of the Lord and can be trusted beyond any shadow of doubt. It is an immovable anchor in times of storms. I told y'all today's word was going to be rich and it was going to be good, and it has been all and more. I am just so filled up this morning. And I have a couple more things, and praying that we will have time. And the next one is Genesis, life lesson, Genesis 48:11. Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God has also shown me your offspring. God often blesses us in ways far beyond anything we can imagine. We hope for and for, say amen. He blessed Joseph and said, and this is verse 48:15, God who has fed me all my life long to this day. When Israel called God, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, he proclaimed that every good thing we have come from the hand and the grace of God. And I say amen. And our last life lesson is Psalms 13:1. Well, actually Psalms 13:1 and 13:5. 13:1, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? At times we might feel as though God has slammed the door to heaven in our face. Yet these times do not last often. He is testing us to see if we will continue to follow him regardless. Psalms 13:5, I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. The Christian life thrives on both memory and hope. We remember how God has shown us mercy in the past, and so we look forward to how he will save us in the future. And that is our word for this morning. Let us go and see what Sister Carolyn, God has given her today. And the word God has given our sister this morning is this: don't let anyone set you off today, family. Be at peace. Remember, God is on your side. Have a fantastic Friday, everyone. And as we say every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And remember, in the Lord, I put my trust. No matter what you're going through today, just keep saying to yourself, in the Lord, I put my trust. When you go to sleep tonight, just say, in the Lord, I put through your day. Say, in the Lord, I put my trust. And I thank you again for joining me this morning, because in the Lord, I put my trust. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. Please join me on Sunday as we go through Proverbs and Matthew. Have a blessed and wonderful weekend, and I'll see you on Sunday as you hear my voice, knowing that God is with us, and in the Lord we are putting our trust. It is a wrap.